All right, welcome back to the Diamond Download, dude. We got a new location.
I like Chase, you. Guess
where I am.
Are you still in Miami?
I absolutely am, but I'm in Cardinal Corp, Copy MBA headquarters.
I love it. You got an office?
Yeah, it's a little box in the sky. It's not bad. This is the first time I'm doing this because it's powered at my building. So, yeah, new location. I don't know. I need a neon sign right there that says Diamond Download. Can we hook that up?
That'd be sick. Yeah, I'll see what we could do. If anyone wants to sponsor, let us know. How are you, man? How's the Ferrari treating you?
It's treating me all right. Now it's fully insured. I was driving with like half insurance for a while, which is the most reckless thing anyone could do on a $500,000 car. But
insane.
So before this, like I have two policies because Progressive won't cover like the whole thing. So I only had like $150,000 of the car covered. And if I, God forbid, knock on wood, crashed it, I would be out like $350,000. So luckily we're good, but yeah, I'm still enjoying it. Took it out for a spin a couple nights ago and it was beautiful, bro. I'm happy with
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. Is it a convertible? Is it hard top, soft top? What is it?
It's a hard top. It's hard top. I'll take you out. When I see you next week, I'll take you out for a spin.
Looking forward to it, brother. Well, let's do this. I'm ready to jump in. I feel way better this week. Last week I felt like shit, but no one called it out. So I guess we were good to go. It was a good episode.
Yeah, don't, man. Dude, that's so funny how like every time, and this happens with like coaching calls for my students in Inner Circle too. Anytime I like feel completely off and I just feel like I can't like run a call, I just feel terrible. And then no one ever notices, like no one ever sees a difference, even people that like know me. So it's kind of weird, but anyway. All right, dude. So remember how last week I told you about how I hired like that TikTok coach?
Yes. Yeah. You have any updates?
Yeah. So there's one thing that he's kind of helped me with, but mostly it's like being bullied if I don't hit my goal of three a day every day.
Three daily TikToks, not one, but three.
No, I'm doing three a day. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's kind of like an accountability coach. And since I've started doing that, I mean, dude, I'm just getting more shots on net and I've had a bunch blow up. Like I've gotten like 5 million views in the last like probably 9 days.
Wow. What is like a typical 9 day view count for you? Is it 500K? Is it a million? What does that look like?
Like much less. Like because I would normally post like 5-6 videos a week and each one would get like 20K. So maybe like 300,000 for the week on average.
Oh, you're up big.
Big. Cause I've had three and a half do like pretty well. So I'm happy right now. And you know what it is, bro? So this is the first topic, the greatest hits method for social media. So like, I remember I asked you a while back, like, how do you come up with just like consistently good content that performs on LinkedIn? And you were saying that it's just by like posting old stuff, like old tweets and like posts from a year ago that no one really remembers and just like redoing it or like re-angling it. And that's what I've been doing. And so like two videos that I've kind of rehabbed are like doing really, really well for me right now. And like one's an original one, but like, dude, I think that's the play is just like keep recycling that stuff. And you know what else? I was talking to Tom Cruise, not the actor, but the Section 8 guy. And he was saying that like, that's kind of the play for TikTok. Like he thinks it's the right way to do it, where it's like, you're not actually coming up with original ideas every single video. Like you have like 8 to 12 angles that you know work, that resonate with people. And you hit those consistently just with like different hooks, different bodies. You know what I mean? Tell the story differently and with a different background and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like you can do that just cyclically. And like that's kind of the key. And so like, I'm just going to keep doing that until the wheels fall off, dude. And honestly, the results have been insane. Like we've been booking dozens of calls a day. Like
I love that. Bro, I think that is like a universal truth of social media. It's just take previous winners, repost them as is, rehash them, you know, rehash half of it. I'm in the LinkedIn mastermind with like Justin Welch and a couple other guys that have like 250K, 500K plus followers on LinkedIn. And everyone has like a slightly different time frame, but people are repurposing stuff from as soon as 3 months ago upwards to 6 or 9 months ago. So everyone's taking winners over the past 1 to 3 quarters. And just either word for word redoing it, maybe changing like the image they had to a different background color. Instead of a white, it's a blue. Or instead of black, it's white, whatever it is. And dude, it is winning. And taking other people's posts that you're friends with and resharing their stuff. I've got a guy named Andrew. Dude, I think he's gained like 100,000 followers on LinkedIn in the past 60 days, which is just like insane. He has people like myself and others just posting his winners. And they're winning for both of us. Like I had one the other day that I posted of his at 3 million views. I think he got probably a couple thousand followers. I got a couple thousand followers. So So even like taking other people that are your friends that are giving you permission content, obviously give them a tag, give them credit, and just sharing their winners. And it's just like this recycling of previous winners till, you know, the end of time. And it's amazing.
Yeah, dude, that's honestly the play. And you're right, like stealing each other's content. Like, the Davi, who's the coach, is doing Rob and Jimmy. And Ben isn't being coached by him, but like they already kind of work together. And so like all four of us are kind of like sharing ideas in a way. Like one of the videos that I did that did really well was a stitch on Jimmy's video. And like if I have an idea that kind of flops because it's not right for my audience, I'll just like send it to Ben and I'll be like, if you made this, it'd probably do better. And vice versa. So like we're kind of just like, remember the old days? Oh, maybe you wouldn't, but like, you know that old squad, like the old Twitter people who like just had like a bunch of like theme accounts that were all just like relatable tweets or whatever. And like they would just all share content. Like there was probably 20 dudes.
Yes. I think it's like Jonathan Snow, Greg Mead, some of those guys were doing some of this. Maybe some other people too. Or Dan Snow, I think it was.
Dan Snow.
Yeah, Dan. Yeah, Dan Snow, not John. John's his brother. And then Greg Mead. There's a couple guys. Yeah, that had like these huge pages that were just, I guess, like viral accounts, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like just relatable tweets. And that was like the old money Twitter mafia. Like those guys were, those guys were sick. So,
yeah. Like the same thing for you. It's like just what you did with, I guess you said Jimmy's post. It's like, can you guys just keep boosting each other into the algorithm so that way you can't get rid of the four of you or the three of you, whoever's in on it? It's like, can you guys keep just stitching each other's things like on a weekly basis? Like maybe do 10 videos a week, 9 are just you. And one every week is you rotate between one of them. That way it's not like every day. I feel like that would work. Get them publicity, get you publicity, and you just use your guys' collective power to just ride the wave of the algo.
Dude, yeah, that's like the play. And also, I find it fun when like everyone's kind of all winning together. Like it's like how YouTubers collab and it's just kind of like cool. Like a rising tide really does lift all ships. Like it's not like one person can go viral and the other person, like it takes away from anything that I'm doing. Like, bro, there are so many people on TikTok and so many people watch so many videos and buy different products that like it does not harm any one of us if one person is getting more views than the other. Like we all just sort of rise up together. It's really cool. Probably the same with LinkedIn too.
Yeah. And none of you guys are competitive, right? Like those guys have stuff on Amazon and their brands. You've got copywriting. Ben does coaching of info, like whatever people do, like the audiences are complimentary and the offers are non-competitive. So it's like, you might as well help your boys. Like someone's going to win. It might as well be you and your friends.
Exactly, man. Yeah. So that's the first thing I got. The second one is also a social media tip that I know you kind of engage in, but you don't do it on purpose.
Okay. And what do I do?
It's okay. So it's the 70-30 of pissing people off. And I've realized that like, dude, for you to go like, I want to say viral, like on any social media platform, you can't post something that everyone agrees with. Like, it's just not the way social media works. Like every video that I've ever done that has gone really, really big, it has people fighting in the comments. And so my plan now, and especially because I'm doing like 20 videos a week, like, I think like if I can do 3 or 5 that have like viral potential because like they're really inflammatory, all it does is like grow the rest of the pie and like more people will just come in and like a handful of them will get hooked on like your actual content. And so like I had one video that got, I think it's like 1.4 million views right now about how like being like rich in a college town is way better than being rich in Miami or LA or New York or something like that, because like you just have more spending power and like you can like I told a story about how like when I was with my girl and her friends, like we went to these like college bars, but we were like buying tables because they were like $600. We didn't feel like waiting in line, and everyone in the comments was like, "Oh, this guy's so cool! Oh, like this guy, like oh, he must be super fun to hang out with." Da-da-da. Like, what a waste of money, or like all this stuff. And so like the comments just going nuts, and like that drove all the engagement. And like I feel like you need a couple of those no matter what your niche is. And I know that you kind of do that too sometimes, where it's like, but you don't do it on purpose, where it's like I don't know, you've told me a couple times where it's like you've had posts where people are just going nuts in your comments, right?
Yeah. There's a few on LinkedIn. I don't normally post about like careers or jobs or workplace, but there's a few I've done intentionally that I knew could or would go viral, and they all hit. I think I did like 5 or 6 of these in a row that all did anywhere from like 1 to 5 million impressions. And they are essentially like blanket statements about like a 40-hour work week is broken, right? Like, and then I would expand on like why I thought the 40-hour work week was broken. And it's like, I don't really care. It's like work 40 hours, work 20, work 60. I don't really care. It's just my opinion. But I know that there's proponents that are equally aggressive on both sides. One I also talked about was like hiring for attitude over skill. And so many people took it the wrong way. I didn't know that that was going to go as viral. People were like, oh, well, you want to go to a doctor that has no skills? Like, good luck to you. It's like, I'm specifically talking about sales and marketing roles where, you know, you're hiring someone, you might as well hire someone that's coachable and has a good attitude and can do the things that can't be trained. It's like, you know, you could teach someone to write copy. You could teach someone how to run Facebook ads. You could teach someone how to write emails. So like, I'll say these things and then people just take it to like the nth degree. And it's like, wow, like that's insane. So a couple of those have done really, really well. You know, hiring for skills, 40-hour work week broken, you know, those types of things. And actually, I was looking at my phone. My friend Savannah Sanchez posted this thing yesterday that she sent me. She posted this video for a company called BlendJet that makes like a blender or whatever. And in the video, you know the product?
Mm-hmm.
In the video, I don't know if it was her or her friend or if she was just commentating on this. I think it might have been actually her creation. She did why comment baiting can help your ROAS on TikTok. And essentially what it was a video of this girl taking like a handful of fruit and tossing it into the blender, but she intentionally missed. So only like half of the fruit actually got into the blender. Half of it went like all over the, you know, the countertop or something. So she was talking about like, do this in your ad to elicit engagement. You know, more engagement equals lower CTMs and better performance. So it was just funny that she showed this example of like everyone was like, oh my God, you're so dumb, you missed, or try the video again. Like people are just being haters, but it actually worked great because she intentionally thought of it from the beginning. So I could see you doing something like that, right? As like, as a copywriter, then you spell something wrong, people are like, oh, what an idiot, he missed a comma, right? Or maybe that's not the best look for you, but I could see something like that being funny. Like you talking about copywriting and then spelling something wrong, and then people would just go like wild in the comments, right?
Yeah, dude. No, I have one that's in my drafts right now that I'm about to post after this podcast, and I'm like a little bit nervous to do it because I know for a fact that it's gonna like really like it could go really wrong. And I had to run it by like, there's like a girls group chat in my inner circle that I'm not even in. And I was like, and I had to get Abby, my EA, to send it to them and be like, would you guys be offended by this if Mason posted this? And like 99% of them were like, nah, I don't really give a shit. Or not that they don't give a shit, but like that they don't really see a problem with it. They understand how it went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, I got a couple planned. And like, dude, another thing too,
I'm nervous
is optimizing for comments is really good, like Savannah's talking about, but optimizing for shares, at least on organic, is really good. Like I was talking about on Twitter, this guy, you know, the client sent you guy, Christian B.
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
He rips on TikTok because he does videos that are optimized to be shared. And so it's like guys sharing stuff with their girlfriend or girls sharing stuff with their friends or like members of one community sharing it with like a group or something. And that is honestly like, that's what platforms really want. Think about it. Like,
yeah.
you want people to, like, if they're not on the platform, to come and spend time on the platform. And if your video is doing that, they're going to promote the fuck out of it. So like,
yeah,
it's a good point.
Yeah. Like one thing for me is like my friends and I have been super into like sports betting, right? Like we just had March Madness finish up. So anytime like the feed shows like crazy parlays, like my friends and I always mention each other, like, damn, that could have been us. Or damn, why didn't we think of that, right? It's like some guy turns $5 into 100K. Like every time we see those, we're all sharing that, like, what can we learn from this? Like, dang, what are we doing wrong? So there's certain types of posts that get people to share. I don't think I've shared really anything otherwise. Sometimes I'll share like recipes on the feed to my wife and be like, hey, you want to make this later? Like, should we teach the girls how to do so? A lot of it lately is like recipes. Was that?
I do that too. I send my girl like meals all the time. I'm like, you gotta make this.
Yeah, but like other than sports betting, and which is a recent thing, and then the food thing was a recent thing, like I don't share anything. But now as soon as I'm in that loop, I keep getting the content, I keep sharing it. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting how it works. And so if you can really reverse engineer that, like that's where the skill is. Like I'm becoming a lot more intentional about content now, and I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, like how would this do? How can I make this like perform better by like changing certain things about it?
Yeah.
And it's fun, bro. I'm having fun on TikTok again. It's really good.
No, I'm stoked for you. And then there was actually one, I was on Threads earlier, the Instagram app, whatever that was.
What are you doing on Threads?
I don't know. I've just been posting content there that I've been posting elsewhere. And on my feed, I stick the most random stuff. Something today I saw was like this sports coach. There was a video of this sports coach somehow, I don't even know, braiding or doing some girl's hair on his team, right? Like some little girl was doing her hair. It was like a sweet thing. And then the caption was something like, you know, this coach was doing this person's hair, didn't know he was being filmed, wait till you hear the mom's reaction. And like in the next tweet, he shares it. But like that kind of hook is like, you know, this thing that's like some guy doing it. Like I have two daughters. I don't know how to do anyone's hair, right? I'm not going to do someone random's hair, right? So it's like this interesting thing. And it totally got me with like the suspense and like the copywriting of like not including in the main tweet. So I had to go then look for it within like the comments or like the second tweet. So just certain things, like I'm trying to also reverse engineer. I'm trying to be more intentional. Like I'm great at creating. I've been really bad at consuming. I'm trying to consume more and just see the things that like I fall for and then try to reverse engineer that.
Yeah, dude. Actually, you know what? I should give a shout out while we're talking about this to, you know, @money on Instagram.
Brandon Hepburn. I don't know who it is, but I think I follow him. I think he follows me. I don't know who it is though. Let's see.
Dude, follow me. He messaged me. We hopped on a call and he was just talking about like,
oh yeah,
because he's a content creator through various means, like doing theme pages on Instagram, doing stuff on TikTok. He was early on Twitter as well. He was with like Bolus and Dan Snow and Greg Mead and all those guys. And he gave me some real like solid advice on this stuff. And like, he's the type of person that can just like make any type of content work because he just like knows how algorithms work and knows how to manipulate people. Like he was the type of guy that would have these like popular Twitter pages that like are kind of just like for pop culture. And he would have the notifications turned on for all these news outlets. And as soon as they tweeted a story that was like kind of funny or whatever, he would immediately sit there and think of like a quote tweet that he could do and just like be first to the punch.
Wow.
And like a guy like that, like he's gifted in terms of content. Like he was super early to Twitter, like 2008, 2009 on Twitter and growing. Like, so he's one of those people that like, I don't know if he has any resources where he teaches this stuff, but very, very interesting to like watch a guy like that operate because so few people like really know what they're doing with content. Super, super cool.
Yeah. I just checked. He and I follow each other. I don't know any of this. So I'll check him out. One thing I've never have done before you posted it, but everyone talks about, and it makes sense, is like commenting under big accounts really quickly with something of value or something funny or interesting. You had posted this video of like a collaboration post on Instagram with you and what's called like American Money or something income. Okay, yeah. And then I posted like a comment on it. I don't know how quickly it was, but I was surprised with like how much engagement comments can actually get if you do it right. And I didn't do anything special. I kind of was just talking about how like, you know, I hired you and you worked for me and kind of some of the stuff that you're doing and I still pay you. And dude, I want to say like that comment got like 75 or 80 likes. And like, granted, I only knew like two or three of the people that actually liked it. I knew you and I think Ben, I mean, one other person liked it. So it was kind of like, not that I've done anything with it, but it's kind of an eye-opening thing to see that like people actually do read the comments and people actually do engage with the comments. And like, I do actually read the comments of some of these big sports accounts. The comments are so funny. Like there are just certain people that troll and say the most ridiculous thing that like oftentimes the comment section on some of these big accounts posts are way better than the actual content itself. Right. There's definitely something there about being early, being quick to retweet or comment or engage in some capacity that's interesting. Like you actually get a lot more attention and eyeballs than I probably gave it credit for.
Dude, yeah. That's like literally how you grow on Twitter. Like for anybody who doesn't know, this is the playbook. That's what you have to do. You have to just like comment under a bunch of people's tweets. That's how you start with it from zero. You know what I mean? Like if you're tweeting, even if it's the most valuable banger tweet ever, no one's going to see it. You have to like be commenting under people's tweets and providing some sort of like real actual value, be funny or be interesting or something. And that's how you grow. So I think that's all good stuff. Like we're putting people on right now, Chase. We're going to have so many pro content creators that came from us. Last one. And I'll let you start with this one, but it's advice from your richest friend. So like, I don't know how rich your richest friend is. I got a couple. You're one of them, honestly. I don't really have too many like ultra rich friends, but I heard one piece of advice from someone that I know who's worth eight figures. And I wanted to see if you had anything from like, do you know any billionaires?
I think they're billionaires or they're close. They haven't disclosed, but I think their billionaires are pretty damn close, like easily north of $500 million, potentially even $1 billion they're worth. I'd probably say that they're billionaires.
Do I know these people?
No. And I don't want to throw them under the bus, but if I think about them in particular, it's not necessarily the things that they've said, it's the things that they haven't said, and it's the way that they do things. So they have four kids. None of the kids really have social media. They keep a very low profile. They've broke some records in like Orange County for like most expensive land purchase. And most people would like, you know, be flashy and brag about that and leave it all over the internet. They actually pay it's my understanding. They actually pay a reputation management firm to scrub the internet for mostly good things. Like, I don't know if there's anything bad about them, but like they have such a low profile that like you're not going to find them on anything. You know, their house, you can't see a picture of their house. You look them up, you can't really find anything on them. They're like almost so low profile to the point where like it's a little bit strange, granted. Like I wouldn't be that low profile. And like they drive very humble, modest cars. Their kids are probably the most respectful, kind of people. So long story short, they've got to be worth over $1 billion, if not $1 billion. I think that the biggest thing I've learned from them is just like, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how successful you are. It's all about spending time with family. It's all about the way that you treat people, whether it's a waiter or a waitress, you know, this, that, or the other. Like it doesn't, like no one is above or beneath them, even though they have more money than God, right? But I think for me, that's like a really big lesson that like money and currency is really cool. And that's one way to keep score. But a lot of people that have made it, the way that they keep score is just the relationships they have and really the intangible. So I think that was one that I've just learned from being around them for a long time. That was like a learned thing. I've got friends that have companies that do 8-9 figures. I've got a friend that's probably 33, 34, that will probably be a billionaire in the next 5 to 10 years. And I think like the biggest thing I've learned from them is just like the importance of your reputation, the importance of like having a name that is equal to longevity. I think so many people are just focused on like such short-term things that they inherently make blunders and make mistakes that are kind of integrity based ones, where they'll cut corners, they'll screw someone, they'll talk shit about someone. So I think for me, like the biggest learnings is like the way that you treat people, you know, your name and your reputation is the access to circles. It's the way that you treat people. I think those are kind of the ones that I've learned. It's really the way that you are as a person more so than how much money you have, I guess I'd say.
Wow. That makes yours? I don't even want to say it now.
What are yours?
Dude, mine was just a little motif that I heard Rob say.
Let's hear it.
Not anywhere near as deep as everything that you just said. I mean, do you still want to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love to. No, I'd love to.
That was really good. Dude, I think it's just so interesting, like the way that certain people are, like, because it's also like their personality to be more low key. Like, I know a lot of people that are not as rich as your friends, but they're in the 9 figures and they are a little bit loud and kind of flashy and braggy. And like, that's just what they like to do. And they also pay a lot of money for security. And so like they can do that to make sure they're not getting robbed or anything like that. But yeah, Rob said this cool thing. He said progress is peace. And to me, that I just thought that was cool because like it's a reminder that like you can have a lot of cool stuff, but if you're not moving in the direction of having more cool stuff or being better than you were yesterday, then like you're actually not going to feel good. And it was relatable to me because like I feel that a lot, where it's like no matter how much revenue we're doing or like how much is in the bank or like how I think I feel or look or anything like that, like if I'm not improving in all of those aspects, I'm not going to feel like good inside. And on the progress piece thing, like the peace comes like at the end of the day after a really hectic day. Like lately I've been working my ass off, bro. Like I've been putting in like a solid like 10, 12 hours like every day, like between like content and like,
nice,
and just writing and dealing with the team and just making sure everything's, you know, good. I'm just trying to like queue up for summer and just make sure we do some banger numbers. I feel better on those days. Like I feel like more relaxed than I do on like an off day.
Like get more fulfilled, more relaxed.
Yeah, like it's nice to have an off day, but like I don't feel as good as if I just like did a bunch of stuff that I needed to do and like made a serious impact.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, dude, all the most successful people in different measures of the word success, like they're always striving to be better, right? Like it's a game, right? And the way that you fill your cup and the way that you're fulfilled is through the progression, whether that be the impact of the people that follow you becoming better, right? More course sales, more follower growth, like all those things. Like, I think like the other thing I'd say is like, there's no right or wrong, right? Like I'm at the stage of life where I have kids and a family, well, that's really important to me. But like when I was younger, like it just wasn't like my frame of thought. Like it was about the money and the cars and the flashy things. So I think there's definitely stages in evolution. I actually posted something the other day that was kind of related to this, not knowing what we're going to talk about. I posted, everyone wants to have more money, cooler cars, and more followers. How about wanting to be kinder, more helpful, more supportive? Being successful is really cool. Being a great person is even cooler. Be mindful of what you're optimizing for. It's going to change depending on where you are in life. And spoiler alert, you can have it all, especially kindness. Kindness is free. It doesn't cost you anything. So it's kind of related to like those types of things where it's like being successful, I carry a lot of weight and a lot of pride with, but also like how you treat people. So I think that was a cool session. I don't know if you even saw that tweet. So that's kind of comes full circle.
I think that's a beautiful way to end it, man. That's I love that.
Hell yeah. Great episode.
Good shit, man. All right. Thanks everybody for watching Diamond Download. We will see you guys next week and I'll be back in my house.
Hopefully. Cheers, brother. Bye.